Blog Talk Radio.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Good evening, advocates. Welcome to another episode of the Pit Bull Advocate. This is our last show of the year, and also welcome again to co-hosting Diane Lynn. Joe Frazier has the night off. How you doing, Diane?
I'm doing good.
Oh, there you are. Joe has the night off, but Joe's hanging out with us tonight in form of our guest tonight. So we've talked to Joe a little bit during the show about updates on Love of Pit, but we haven't really gotten a lot. We talked to a lot of rescues before, Joe and I, in past shows. Joe's been with the show for 5 years, Diane.
Yeah.
5 years.
Wow.
And we've really moved along. You've been with us since August.
Yeah.
And the show is moving quite along. You've gotten us quite some great guests. Had some really good guests. So thank you for that. Big things.
You're welcome.
Last show of the year. Man, and getting ready for some even more. Have you got anything in front of you? Who do we have planned up for the upcoming year, Diane?
I'm not sure. I was waiting to discuss that with you and see who you wanted. I have a list.
I know we've got the list, and we're going to get to that. So, and keep them coming. So then we'll start booking those shows. We're going to take some time off and get that.
There were so many awesome ones that we had, and we didn't have enough time, so. I think it would be great to bring some of them back.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're still looking to try that 1 hour show, which would be great.
Yeah.
Working on that. So find out the way to do that. We talked to Debbie over at Voices Carry. Shout out Debbie Dahmer, Pitbull Debbie. Everybody over at Voices Carry for Animals. They were doing the Thursday night show, and they're taking the rest of the year off. So they do everything over there, you name it, you know, anything related to the world of animal advocacy. They've got a part in it and a say in it. And hopefully everybody out there is going to enjoy their Christmas season, holiday season, New Year's, and all that. Things are quiet around this part here. Advocates in our place. We're really low key here. So, what kind of things you do over there, Diane? You guys get all festive in your house?
Yeah. We're going to get a tree tomorrow.
Get the tree. Well, we've got
three
dogs and two cats. The trees are most definitely out of the question here.
No, go on.
That's not going to happen. But hey, you know, let's get through this. We said hello to everybody. This is a call-in show, real quick. 929-477-2860. 929-477-2860. Give us a call. Talk to Joe. Ask him questions and find out what the ins and outs, the ups and downs of running day-to-day life at the Pit Rural Rescue. Joe Frazier, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, it's a different part of the show for you, and we appreciate you coming on as our guest.
Oh, no problem.
Hey, everybody.
So now, Hey, is that Tam back there?
That is.
Hey, Tam. So you guys, Love a Pit Rescue, let's just get down to it. How long have you guys been around? When did you start get the idea where this is something that you wanted to take on?
Well, I adopted Dosha back in November of 2007. And within just a few months of seeing her, you know, wanting to change and getting away from that dog aggressive role and everything, had pretty much set me on these dogs. And at that point, we still owed a lot of money on the property here, and the money was a buyer, you know, buyer carry. So it was, they wouldn't allow us to do anything pit bull related while we were buying it as far as that went. So that's when we started Love a Pit placement program. So we were catching pit bulls before they went into shelters, getting the owners to hold on to their dogs long enough for us to screen and find a place for the dogs to go. And so that's really where we were born and where we started creating our name. And from there, you know, it just continued to build.
Now, when were you first able to set up a kennel facility where you were actually able to house and care for dogs?
So 7 years ago, we actually talked to owners into allowing us to carry a couple dogs at a time, and that's when we started collecting dog runs and setting up more as a rescue facility, even though we were pretty small at that point.
Yeah. Now, how does this? I mean, we've all got to be a little bit crazy to get into this, and financially, I mean, how do you, you know, you think about it, and you're going, okay. It obviously plays a huge part in it. So how do two people, you know, kind of get? I mean, you got to do a lot of work. How does that work?
Well, financially, when we first started out with just, you know, two or three dogs at a time, of course, we were taking care of our own. And, you know, it wasn't that much more just to take care of a couple more dogs. So we were pretty much fronting everything. As it got further in and it started becoming more dogs and it started becoming more of a financial load, we had several followers that backed us pretty heavily setting up events to raise funds. He has several people that when come in, like there's a gal that does jewelry that supports us pretty heavily. She'd come in and sell at our events and donate 20% of her sales and stuff like that. So it started out that way. And, you know, by the time we got to where we're at now, we've been carrying a fairly good name. And so typically when we ask for donations for care for dogs, people are willing to donate to it. So right now it's a little more being carried by our followers than I like, and we're trying to resolve that on our end. But for the most part, we try to keep it 50-50 or higher on our part and just really ask when we need the funds.
Are you Love a Pit Rescue a 501c3?
We are 501c3. We are Oregon nonprofit corporate registered. We are registered with Department of Justice. So, I mean, we've hopped through all of our hoops.
Yeah, that's a lot of paperwork. I've seen it. We were trying to do that, and you know, years ago when we had Scrap, we were trying to get that ball rolling.
It's gone electronic, and that helps. It reduces the paperwork by, well, back when I originally printed off the documents to do it, it was 31 pages, and when we went online and did it,
yeah,
it was 9. So it drastically cut.
Wow.
There you go. I hear Cricket has joined us tonight.
Yep.
good girl. And 2007 and to now, how many dogs have been through your facility and have been adopted out? So a few your success stories.
God. Let's see. I have 40 picture collage on our wall and 36 and 40 is filled. That's dogs that have directly come through our facility. That's not counting dogs that we've helped train or the dogs from when we were a placement program or any of that. So, I mean, that's 40 dogs in the last 5 to 6 years. I would say probably 60, 65 total in the 12 years we've been doing this.
Yeah. Saving all those lives. And where would they be without you and Tam today, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to think about
back when we first started, we were working very much hand in hand with LCAS. LCAS is no longer running. The county closed them down, but when they were, the director there was setting up standalone dog runs in the back parking lot to keep from putting pit bulls down. So we were exclusively pulling from there, and a lot of the dogs we were pulling at that time was death row dogs.
Yeah, that is important. That is important. They're having a relationship, a positive relationship with your local shelters, regardless of how you feel about their policies. The important thing is if you can save a life, and they're going to turn this dog over to you, take the dog.
Yeah.
You know,
With LCAS, we were very much on a strict policy. He called us with their worst cases and, you know, hey, can you take this dog? It's on death row. And they were transferring him to us for free just to get him out of their shelter. So we had a very good relationship with them. We ran with them for almost 3 years, and we pulled probably about 20 dogs out of there while they were open.
Do you have any working relationships with any, are there any other shelters or even rescue organizations that you have a working relationship with?
I have a couple of rescues locally that we work with quite a bit, and we have a pretty good standing with Willamette Humane Society. So, you know, we have a few ins and outs. In all actuality, probably in recent years, I think we've probably built better relationships with California organizations, but I don't know. Oregon shelter systems are kind of funny. For one, a lot of people have a misconception in Oregon that we don't have a problem with dogs being put down here, which is untrue. And for two, you know, we've come across a few shelters where we've came in and we said we've seen that, you know, you have quite a bit of pit bulls and bully breeds that are being put down. We would like to help. And rather they say, oh, well, you got to fill out an application, and we fill out an application and they just never return back to us, even though we've filled out an application 3 or 4 times. Or they just say, oh, we're not working with the rescue organizations at this time. And it's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. What's you mentioned California. You went as far as Los Angeles area recently in this last year, if I'm correct?
Well, Gardner, California was year before last. That was for Xena, which is South LA. We went down to Carson and pulled her. And this year we've gone to Bakersfield and Sacramento and pulled two dogs there.
Now, how does that work? What kind of check are they doing on you as far as your background and your group? What kind of information do you have to provide to them, or do they
kind of
do that?
the Bakersfield dog was a, this dog needs to go somewhere, or it was going to go to a shelter. So it was pretty much, we just drove down and picked up the dog and brought it back up. And the Sacramento was through a rescue group that I work with quite a bit. So, you know, they're already familiar with us and how we operate.
Okay, so you...
Gardner, California, I have a rescue that I deal with that with severe case dogs will use their pull power to allow us to bring dogs up.
Now, how do these dogs react? Which, say, you're down in Carson and Gardenia and Bakersfield. I love Bakersfield area. I just got to put that out there. One of my favorite places. But how do the dogs react on these road trips? They're taken out of this environment, and all of a sudden, you know, you're hitting these wide open roads, and y'all don't know each other. I mean, how does that work out, and how does that relationship develop from your drive up? What kind of relationship do you develop with the dog?
Well, typically by going down and picking up our own dogs and bringing them back up instead of using transport companies, by the time we get back to the rescue, we have a relationship with the dog, which makes bringing them in and making them part of our pack so they can run free go much better than when we just pick them up off transport and they have no experience or exposure to that. Most of the time when I go down, I take my service dog with me. So when I take my service dog potty first, I'll open up the back hatch because I have the kennel in the back and blankets all the way around except for the opening in the back so that they, you know, feel secure and calm, etc. And so they get to see how I react and treat and you know, deal with my own dogs when it's coming out. And mm-hmm. so they have an idea, which to me it seems to make them relax better. And so, you know, this relationship's forming based off how they see me treating other dogs before I handle them, and they're getting the same treatment.
Yeah, excellent point. Excellent. Do you think your relationships between 12 minutes, guys? I mean, we can go into overtime on this. Go ahead and do that. 929-477-2860, 929-477-2860. We have Joe Frazier and Tam back there, and Cricket. With everybody from Love
and
Rescue.
And Kathy and Doja and Anastasia. Hey.
There we go. All the girls in the house. That's my girl Doja, right? There she is.
Yeah.
There she is. How do you feel your when I had my fosters, I had five dogs, I had two of my own and my three fosters. I think it's, you know, if possible, I mean, I got really, to have five dogs in the same house and to not have an incident. I could walk these dogs down the street, walk them down to a little coffee corner, you know, a little coffee kiosk in the corner. Pack, you know, the whole pack mentality, we're getting a dog into a stable pack. Are there dogs, Joe, the question is, are there dogs that you feel that would do best just to bring them in with your dogs and you feel that there's just something that, you know, that's clicking with these dogs that you feel that would benefit more from being in your house or even with a foster environment?
I mean, of course, there's benefits to both, you know. Obviously, if you have a real scared dog that's been abused and stuff, a quieter environment is going to be better for it to start coming out of its shell and, you know, start learning how to deal with everyday life. Fortunately, so far, we haven't had any of those really bad abuse cases. It's not that we don't see them. It's that until we get ourselves more financially stable as an organization, we really don't have the funds to deal with those types of dogs. We have had some abuse cases in, but never severe. And even some of those, you know, we'll separate them for 2 or 3 weeks in a room or in a crate or something that's covered, and then slowly introduce them into the pack. But some dogs like Rocky that just recently came in, of course, you know, he just instantly clicked with our 5 roaming dogs. He's now part of the roaming pack as 6. We have another dog that just recently came in, which is Carlos. He's still a little on edge about things, so we don't let him roam full time, but he has more run time than he does crate time. So he's out with our girls and Rocky. He roams around. He doesn't bother the cats. He doesn't bother the other dogs. He just wants attention and just, you know, loaf around and be part of the family.
Diane?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm just amazed at the work he does.
Back there.
And of course,
I just been listening. I'm like, wow.
You know? I mean, I'm having to work a lot right now to support the rescue. My wife is a very big part of this. You know, she feeds the dogs and takes care of the dogs. I go out and take care of the business end, and of course, you know, make money for the rescue. I mean, it's a full-time, you know, team process. Neither one of us can do this without each other.
Right, and there's no time off.
No, never any time off.
There's no time off.
We get to go
out to dinner once in a while. Yeah, there you go. Now, have you ever gotten to, I mean, I would love for you guys to get yourself some time off. You know, you find yourself where you happen to have a lull in your thing. Y'all really need to get away for a little bit. Get you guys to come out our way, and you can come hang out with us. You can come help take care of our crew here in Arizona.
Yeah, I would love to make it over there sometime. I mean, of course, you would have to deal with my blockhead over here that likes to play rough, but, I mean, she's a good dog.
That's all right. Well, I keep telling, she's, you know, talking about me getting back out that direction, and every time that I plan myself a road trip west to visit the family, there's some sort of a fire. So I don't want to really jinx myself and say, well, why don't I just go to Oregon? Because I don't want to set your state on fire.
well, just plan it for California, and then you can just side skirt it up this way, and that way you can fool it, you know.
I just go, fuck it, I'm going to Oregon, you know.
There you go.
But we do need to get out there.
It's all rainy up here.
Oh, it'll burn in the wintertime.
Yeah, but not as bad.
But definitely a road trip's in order. Do a PBA road trip, and do a couple midweek shows, or depending on however the week you know the trip progresses through a week. That'd be kind of fun.
It would be.
Yeah, and you know, you could do a show on your experience that you had while you're out there.
Yeah. Well, that's my road trip stories my road trip experiences are well documented. So I'll send
you
all some links. Yeah. But what's that?
We have literally gone to the dogs.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, it was great to do a live broadcast from Beloved Pit Rescue.
Yeah.
Got to do it when the weather's nice. Get up there in the summertime and do that show.
Have all the dogs out in the play yard and stuff?
Yeah, so we can do it. We could even do a video portion of it, but you know, I don't think they want to see our mugs on the camera. So we'll just, you know, we'll just put it down there for the dogs, so everybody can see the dogs. You know, we can wear some sort of disguises or something. but Joe, it's great. You know, it's just doing this for 2007. That's damn it, you're going on 10 years. If my math is right, guys.
11 coming up on 12.
Yeah.
11. Okay, there it is. And that's a good long time. And we really hope that you keep doing this. When it comes to this show, I'd like to get to the point where we don't have to call it the Pitbull Advocate. We could just call it the Pitbull Lover Show and not have to worry about breed-specific legislation and, you know, having to fight these laws and dog fighting is abolished, you know, all these really nice things we'd like to see. But, we just got to keep at it, keep doing the show, and when we get people on, expose them for, what they're doing, and then we'll give the airwaves to people like Joe and, you know, geez, I can't even think of all the great guests we've had this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys had some pretty awesome ones.
What's that?
You guys have had some pretty awesome guests on this year.
Yeah. Keep them coming there, Diane. Keep them coming.
I
we
will.
Got some revisits we need to do, too, like Dahlia Kane's and stuff that hasn't been on for a while.
Yeah. Dahlia's always a good guest. Another guy, Joe, that we haven't had on for a while, Foster Porter. And I'm really hoping he's he's down there. He's doing the movie thing, cameraman, producing, and he's had a lot of great ideas that he's talked to here. He is one of our earlier guests talking about when he was doing conversations with the pit bull, and I really like to see that. He's been trying to get that out there for a while. So get Foster Quarterback on. Some great guests.
Yep.
I agree.
So Joe, and how many dogs currently are you housing tonight?
We have 11, including our four personals.
And they all live in
11?
Our house.
11.
11 include. Is that you said including the? Including your four or not including?
That includes our four.
Okay.
And they all live in our house, in our little three-bedroom house.
All right. I want to see a group picture here, and I want you guys to post that on the PBA page. Joe, I know you do your live. I've seen your live video, so you can actually go to the PBA page. And onto the PBA page and do a live video there. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you can do it. Get your phone and go to the PBA page and give us a live video of you and that posse there at Love a Pit.
Yeah, I'll definitely at least get my cannon out and get a steel shot of the seven running free.
There you go.
So, yeah.
11. Wow. You guys are busy. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it, but
it takes a lot of work.
Very carefully and a lot of insanity.
right, and then never give in, never give up.
Yeah,
you guys, there you go. And we're down to it here, guys. It's been a great year, you guys. Looking forward to another great year of the Pit Bull Advocate. Keep on doing what you're doing, and hopefully we'll see more progress in the coming years. A little bit more respect. So, hats off to you, Joe. Thank you so much for everything that you do, you and Pam. And we'll see you next year.
All right.
Good night, Joe.
Good night.